What are you saying to me?
I
Pastor Stabby. What's the date today, by the way? The 7th. So today's Mr. Bain's the oxide.
And his birthday.
And his birthday.
And
the interesting thing is that in this week's Pasha, it's not mentioned Bechlal, Moshe Rabbeinu's name. Don't say V'yema Hashem and Moshe. It says V'ata Tetzaveh. Yeah, don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name Bechlal. This week's Pasha. And from there the Vilna Gaon is Madaik, that this is going to be the week that Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer going to be here anymore. It's going to be the week that Moshe Rabbeinu is Nifter. And every single year, Zayin Adar actually falls during Parshat Tetzaveh. So this is going to be the week where it's not clearly Meduyuk. But if you look in the Balaturim at the end, okay, it's a different Haggadah. But the Maisa, it says in this Parshat this. It says, Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Gimel. Va'atra Tadaber. Again, it doesn't say Moshe Rabbeinu, it just says you. Who's you? You, Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'atra Tadaber El Kol Chachmei Lev. To all those who have a chachmei lev, asher melei sivra chachma, that are filled with the spirit of wisdom, but also speak the Aaron, the katri, the chayin eli, and nation make the begotten of Aaron to sanctify and to lechahan eli, to be a kohen for me. So the Balaam Musa on the Daik, the Chaim from Levitz and others on the Daik, why say v'atadav et kol chachmei lev? Why chachmei lev? The term chachmei lev is a very obscure, very unclear nusach. A person doesn't have wisdom in his heart. A person has desire in his heart. A person has a good heart. A person has a good heart. It means it doesn't mean a person is clever. A person has a good brain means he's clever. Yeah? A guy has a good heart. This means a guy having a good head and a good heart. Big difference. So why is there over here at Dabo Chachmei Lev? Chachmei Lev are not people who have a clever brain. It's a clever heart. You don't have a clever heart. You have a good heart. So what's the deal over here is Chachmei Lev? You should say the Chachmei Reish or the Tuvei Lev if you're looking for good midas. Why Chachmei Lev? Says the Chaim Shmulevitz that the Prophet says initially Ela Chachomim Yitnu Chachma, and for those people who are Chachomim, those wise people, I give wisdom. Why is that? So I always thought that because giving wisdom to a fool, he won't know what to do with it. It's just the people who are wise, HaKadosh Baruch gives them wisdom that they're able to use the tool properly. But the answer, the truth is, it's not so. HaKadosh Baruch gives to a person the tools he asks for. You're all going around now, hopefully for the tat, and all collecting money. And if you ask somebody for 5 shekel, they'll give you 5 shekel. If you try and ask for more,
no.
You've got to ask for more, you've got to say, you know, I'd like to consider giving 50 shekel towards our tat. Something you're expecting 18 shekel from. Or, you know, I'd like to open up the suggestion, perhaps you'd like to give us 100 shekel. And then quiet. Quiet, then back off, and then this person has to now give you the answer. I can't, I'll give you maybe 2 checks. But this is the story in business too. That you've got to ask, you've got to strive. The more you strive for, the more people are open to giving you. If you've got very low hasogas, they made a research recently that a person who doesn't haggle for his wages and up in his wages is less likely to get a job than a person who haggles for his wages. If you're having a business interview and you don't try and up what the fellow wants to give you, you're less likely to receive a job than if you start haggling and say, listen, you know, I've got this much experience, look at my resume, look what I've done, I'd like more than that. Resume, I mean, look what I've done. You're more likely to get more, because a person who strives for more is a person who strives for everything in life. Chachmei Lev does not mean a person who has a good head. Chachmei Lev is a person who loves wisdom. He's a chacham in his heart. He's a person who actually enjoys to be clever. He enjoys wisdom. He thinks that the greatest thing in the world is a clever thought. A clever thing in the world is the best thing for him. That is a Chachmei Lev. That is a person who is a proper chacham. Says the Chaim Shmulevitz that Moshe Rabbeinu is not looking for chachamim, the wisest people. He's looking for people who loved wisdom. Because people who loved wisdom, you've got to love what you're doing. You've got to enjoy what you're doing. And those people who enjoy what they're doing can go far further than people who are naturally born with a clever head. That's a Chachmei Lev. Shlomo HaMelech was given a choice. He can have whatever he wanted. Anything he wanted. And Shlomo HaMelech was a Chacham Lev. he chose wisdom. A chacham lev is not somebody who necessarily is the cleverest, the person who wants to enjoy, he wants to grow, he wants to be the cleverest person, he appreciates what chokhmah is all about. That's a chacham lev. The obvious moshul, the story we have, everyone knows the story, but it's a very, very important story, was Rabbi Isaac Horus. Rabbi Isaac Horus was one of the Gedolei Ador. Died about 150 years ago. He wrote many svarim. And he went to Volozhin to look for a chosen for his daughter. He had a very eligible daughter. He's a very wealthy man as well. And he's looking for a son-in-law for his daughter. And he went from yeshiva to yeshiva and eventually ended up in Volozhin. And the way of looking for a son-in-law was not today by, you know, finding out necessarily where he wants to kiruv, or he wants to say Eretz Yisrael, or he wants a wife to wear a shaitel or a tichel. He put a question on the notice board, and he said, anybody who can come give me the answer, you can have my daughter. Okay, the guy's got to be Jewish, and the guy's got to be more than 3'3", but basically, whoever answers this question properly, he's the person I want for my son-in-law. So the whole week, the Beis Medrash was, they close the Gemara and they start learning Bava Basra and they started going through this Kashlen and working it through and Rishonim and Achronim 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. People were missing sleep, and they came with, after a couple of days, the first boy comes, knocks on his door, giving him an answer. He shrugs it off, no, that's not the right answer. Next boy. Eventually the line gets less and less. You're left with two boys, one boy, nobody has the answer. So basically, what can I tell you, my daughter's not, I've only got one daughter. Don't have the answer, I've got to look somewhere else. Goes in his carriage, he's driving out from Volozhin, all of a sudden there's this boy chasing him. Rebbe, stop. So what, you got the answer? He says, no, I don't have the answer, but you tell me, what's the answer? What is the answer? I don't know, I can't marry your daughter, I don't know, but tell me what's the answer. Isaac Chorus said, that's the son-in-law I want. I didn't expect any of you to get the answer. It's a question which is way beyond you. But a boy who runs after me and says, no, what's the answer? That's a chacham lev. That's a person who loves wisdom. That's a person who wants to get an extra chap in the Gemara, another twist on the Rashi. That's a chacham lev. That's a person who can grow up to be big. The Gedolim always said, I think it was, I can't remember who it was, in, I think it was in the yeshiva of Nevaduk. The Rosh Yeshiva came in, I've got the details, and he said, who's going to be great? He said, who's the cleverest boy? And he said, Bocha X. He said, who is the boy who's going to be the biggest goddle? He said, the stipler. So he said, well, the stipler's not the cleverest. He said, no, but he's got the greatest desire to learn. And the desire to learn is going to make him great. Yeah, the famous verse of Vilna Vezayin Agon. Came to Vilna Gaon. How did he become a Gaon? Vilna. Just want, and he become a Gaon. Just Vilna Vezayin Agon. If you want to, you become great. That's a Chacham Leif. The prophet says,
What is greatness?
Knowledge or? Hashem, give yourself a
dishonor. What does that mean? If I want to become great, what do I want?
You want to become great. You want to become the closest, you want to know the greatest amount of Torah possible. You want to finish Shas and Poskim and everything. There's a story, I know, Rabbi Ron Gorovitz told me the story. Rabbi Ron Gorovitz, Rashid of Gator, told me that when he was in Brisk, I can't remember, the story went like this. When he was in Brisk, he went to the Rosh Yeshiva, the Briskerov, and he told him he doesn't understand the Tosfos. And he's given up the Tosfos. He says, one second, did he go to Kivrei Avos? Did he go to the Kavarim and cry about the Kavarim to understand the Tosfos? That's called Chacham Lev. So he just learned Tosfos, don't understand it, carry on. Cry! Go to the Kavarim and beg by the Kavarim to understand Tosfos. I'll tell you a quick story. I heard Mamish, an unbelievable story in Mamish. This story is one of my finest. There's something called Rev Simcha Weinberg. Simcha Weinberg is the son of Rev Yaakov Weinberg, Zachrin Nevracha, from Baltimore. Yeah, Rev Simcha Weinberg. He lives today also in Baltimore. Yeah, he's his nephew. A very, very bright fellow, Talmud Chochem. And he was a grandson of the Rosh Yeshiva of Neri Sol, of a Ruderman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And often, he would, instead of going home to his parents, he'd stay by Ruderman overnight in the Yeshiva, and he very much loved his grandfather, Reb Simcha. One night, he heard screams coming from Reb Ruderman's room. middle of the night, 11, 12 o'clock, he was at Bocha, 18, 19, went to sleep, and he heard screams, yells coming from Ruderman's room. He went to the room, and he said, is the Zeta okay? He said, okay, I don't understand faces. Faces is driving me nuts, I don't understand. He's screaming and he's yelling. So he thought to himself, listen, it's my grandfather's problem, not mine. Well, I'm going back to bed. So he went back to bed. 4 o'clock in the morning, he hears noise in the kitchen. What's going on? See, who knows? Goes to the kitchen and he sees his grandfather and his grandmother both in Shabbos clothes. My grandmother had put on a Shabbos shaitel, her Shabbos clothes, or she was wearing his Shabbos frack, his Shabbos hat, and they're both drinking a l'chaim of orange juice at 4 o'clock in the morning. So he said, what's going on here? He said, I've understood Tosfos. Making a l'chaim. Now the fact that Ruderman made a l'chaim on an orange juice in the middle of the night, okay. But the fact that his wife got up and got dressed in her Shabbos clothes to join her husband with the l'chaim, that is Chacham Lev. That's a fun person who loves Chochmah. Is willing to get up in the middle of the night and get dressed in the Shabbos clothes to share an orange juice with her husband. That's Chacham Lev. And that's how you have Gedolim. Firstly, you have people who are tremendous. That's how they have a son-in-law like a Yaakov Weinberg. And the Gedolei Olam. That's a Chacham Lev.
Isn't it
Rosh Simcha
that he became a businessman and then he became, and then he just basically stuck with
Torah? So there's a lot of Simcha Weinbergs. He came to Aish a while back, and he stayed in Aish, you know, for 3-4 weeks, and he used to tell all the stories. Amazing, absolutely amazing. That's a Chacham Lev. I want to just briefly carry on something also which is Negei over here. In Perek Chof Ches Posuk Lamed Beis. It says that the inyan of making a me'il. The me'il was one of the kelim used by the Kohen Gadol. And at the bottom of it, it says, "V'osiso al shuliyov," and you should make on the shulov, on the hem, "Rimoynei tcheles agamas lashoni," you should make these different things. "Parmoin zav rimoin, parmoin zav rimoin." You should make a little bell of gold, of a rimoin, parmoin zav rimoin. You should make little bells. So Rashi, why should you make these bells? So he says that you should be heard coming. It's brought down in the Gemara that people should hear the Kohen Gadol coming. The Pasuk says that when he comes into the Kodesh, you should be heard. Okay, you see what Rashi v'lo yomus means. So he says over here that the reason why you have the Parmoinim is that Aaron should come into the Shoyes and you shall hear him when he comes in. Now, why exactly do people have to hear but Aaron HaKohen when he comes into the Mishkan? So the Gemara says that teaches us Derech Eretz. That when you come into a room, even to a room, when your family's there, not talking about somebody else's house, but in your own house, when you're coming into a room, you knock on the door. You knock on the door. Okay, you don't have to go crazy every time you need to look in the kitchen, out the kitchen, and knock on the door. But before you come home at night, you don't just open the door. You knock on the door. It's Minhag Derech Eretz, the Gemara teaches us. Now, you can understand at home Minhag Derech Eretz. Yeah? Who knows? The kid may be undressed, may have visitors, you don't knock on the door. But it's in the base of Mikdosh. What's happening already? You've got Kohen doing Navreda. What's the idea over here? That's number one. Number two, the Pasuk says, the Yishami says in Yuma, in Halacha Gemel, he says, Yavri Koil, let the Koil of the little bells on the Me'il come, Vayichape al Koil Hohoyed B'Shegeg. And do kapara on the coil of somebody who killed somebody b'shoigeg. Now, what bells got to do with somebody killed somebody b'shoigeg? The coil of killing somebody b'shoigeg. What the bells of me'il got to do with somebody who killed somebody b'shoigeg? So the Balaam was to say like this, and they say that nobody becomes a ritzach overnight. Nobody becomes a ritzach overnight. It's something. It's a process. I once had a fascination of the underworld, and I once wrote a book about how a mafia guy. Now, one head of the Matthew New York wrote an autobiography of how, I forgot his name, something, the Bull or something, I forgot his name exactly, years back I read it, of how he actually turned to be the head of the well-known Matthew until he eventually got put into jail and witness protection, a whole story, and how he turned from a kid who went to school every day to a dropout, from a dropout to a cheap, you know, a street punk, and from a street punk he turned into a criminal, and then he ran the whole underworld in a certain part in downtown New York. But the idea was very striking, that nobody becomes a Ritzach overnight. So on. And therefore, the idea is that this, that a person has to keep his levels of manners. A person's got to keep the levels of manners, and by keeping a certain level of good manners, of derech eretz with somebody else, that is something that will stop a person tripping all the way down. A person keeps their middos of derech eretz. A person has derech eretz. Sometimes people laugh at their yeses. So they laugh at them. They're like, yeses of derech eretz. They're over the top. It's not. It's not. The derech eretz you have for parents, the derech eretz you have for Rabbeinu Shleilam, is something that's going to stop, says the Yerushalmi, of somebody kidding somebody else for Shreigig. Because the Shreigig also happens by somebody just posh not caring about the other person. Knocking on the door before you come in, of course it wasn't necessary. In the basement, there was nothing there, nothing was going on. No, but that's derech eretz. You don't give a person a shock. That's also derech eretz. Therefore, the derech eretz over here is necessary to teach us poshut, that a person has to remember that every other person is selim alekim, that another person is mamish Rabbeinu Shalom's form. And that you've got to have derech eretz for the person's wishes, for the other person's desires, for the other person's needs. And that is the idea of a Kohen Gadol who's supposed to be coming with Slayim Vadifnim and dealing with representing Klal Yisrael, to have that very, very sensitive level of good manners and derech eretz. On this point, what I just mentioned beforehand, Rabbi Yaakov Naiman explains why in Purim we have the inyan of Mishloach Manos Matanos Avyonim. By no other Yom Tov do we have the aspect of care of Matanos Avyonim, Mishloach Manos Matanos Avyonim. We have the concept of bringing people into our home. The Rambam says it's a tremendous mitzvah to care for the Amonos and the Yisraimim. But nowhere do we find the mitzvah Hayoyim, the mitzvah of the day. The mitzvah of the day of Purim is to go along and to send people Mishloach Manos Matanos Avyonim. Why? What's the idea of it? What's the concept of it? What's it all about? So, one moshul, I think of Simcha Wiesel from Kelm, says this. He says that one moshul is that a father sent a telegram to his, a very wealthy father sent a telegram to his son that his youngest son is getting married. His youngest son is getting married. And therefore, he would like him to come to the wedding. And all expense paid. Which means he's got all his clothes, kit out the whole family's brand new clothes, traveling expenses, food. Everything will be paid for by the father. And do me a favor, remember to bring Getzel along as well. Getzel is a middle brother. Remind him as well to come along to the chasna. And again, I'll pay everything. This son was delighted. His father's a stingy bloke, and he's never before given so much. You know, the youngest child suddenly has opened up the purse, is here. The father's never really cared about this, you know, anyone in the family too much, and suddenly he's giving everything fantastic. He goes to Saks, he goes to Saltridge's, he goes to Harrods, he goes to all over the place. He goes to whatever it is in France, that beautiful shop. Galerie Lafayette. He goes all over the world buying himself, kitting himself up with all designer labels. His kids, mamas, look out, they just came out from a magazine. He's from the GQ. He's tops, unbelievable. Gets nails buffed, everything. On his way out, he's got his beautiful limousine outside his house. And suddenly, oh no, I forgot to bring Getzel. I forgot to tell Getzel about the wedding. How embarrassing. Phone Getzel up to Getzel, you won't believe this. A youngest brother Chaim is getting married. You've got to come to the wedding. He says, come to the wedding? How can I come to a wedding like this? I've got no clothes. He says, come, you'll be okay. Family simcha, everything's fine. Anyway, he goes along to the family simcha, and he's dressed beautifully. His poor friend Chaim looks terrible. You know, the family photos, he's like hanging behind there, looking over, hiding behind everyone else, and all his kids also hiding behind everyone else, standing right behind, and he's standing there, giving his, you know, James Bond sort of look. And at the end of the chasna, he comes to his father with his itemized bill and says, Dad, here's a bill, $25,000 for the hats and for the glasses and for the suits and for the shoes. And yeah, you just want to put it directly into my bank account, that's fine. I says, forget it, I'm not giving you a penny. I've had you promised. Nothing. He says, why? He said, because I told you to look after Chaim as well. You weren't looking after me. You weren't doing it for the sake of your brother. You're looking after number one. What's the proof? That poor Getzel over there, you didn't even think about it in the last moment. It's an afterthought. If what were you caring about? You're caring about yourself. You weren't caring about me to make the wedding nice. are always willing to pay if you're thinking about making the wedding nice. You know, willing to pay any expense to make the wedding nice, but you come into the wedding and enhancing the wedding. You weren't interested in that. You're interested in yourself. All right, look at Paul Getzel. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, Hashem says to us, you know what? I'll cover all your expenses. I'll cover all your expenses. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, Hashem says, you pay and I'll pay you back. But when it comes to a Yom Tov like Purim, where it's Oichel and Masa, that's a mitzvah sayoyim of eating and drinking. That's a mitzvah sayoyim, not shaking the liver. Mitzvah sayoyim is eating and drinking. And he got the poor neighbor next door, doesn't have anything to eat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what, are you interested in doing it for my sake? Or for your sake? So the Chazal say, to get around that, Chazal say, give him a shalach manas, give him a ton of sejainim. Care about the other person. Make it the holiday that you actually care about the other person. Make the holiday that you actually show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it because we love every single Jew for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake. That we should enjoy Purim in the correct light. That's one way of understanding it. Another way of understanding is like this. That Haman, the Gemara says, Haman min haTorah minayim. This is a beautiful vod. Haman min haTorah minayim. Where do you find Haman in the Torah? What's the Gemara answer? Anyone know? Haman min haTorah minayim. Where do we find the remez for Haman min haTorah? The Gemara says, Es min haTorah minayim, v'noicha haste aste panabeim hazeh. Where does Mordechai v'noicha mordoroyer? This is fast. Mordoroyer is dealing with the Torah. Mordoroyer. Yeah, what's dealing with, where's Haman? So the Gemara, Hamin ha'etz hazeh. Hamin ha'etz hazeh, is it from this tree? Hamin ha'etz hazeh is referring to the Eitz Hadas. Hamin, translated differently, is Haman. Hamin ha'etz hazeh. Now this Gemara looks like a bit of a Purim vot. Yeah, Haman, Hamin ha'etz hazeh, he's also Hamin, Haman. It's like a bit of a Purim vot. Yeah? So what's the vot, Hamin ha'etz hazeh, what's it got to do with Haman? So the Balaam Musa say something very, very beautiful. They say like this. They say that Haman, what was he doing? Where was Haman? Haman was one of the most powerful person in the world, second in command. He had the entire empire. The Persian Empire then took over the whole world. He had everything he wanted. He had fame, he had coverage, he had wealth, he had everything he wanted. He had people bowing down to him. Every single Jew was bowing down to him. Every single Jew besides one. Who was this one? Mordechai. But Mordechai, Yudi, he was the only person who ever bowed down to him. What did Haman say? V'kol zeh einenu shovali. Since this one Jew is not bowing down to me, nothing's worthwhile. Not my fame, not my covered, not my money, not my family, not my position. Nothing is worthwhile to me. Nothing. It's worth nothing to me. That's what he said. And therefore he did what he did. Where do we find the same position? That a person has such a tremendous wealth and he has everything he wants and he says, you know what? But I don't have that thing. That's the thing that was in Gan Eden. Gan Eden, we had Adam HaRishay was being near the Meziv HaShchina. He's sitting next to the Shchina and he had Malachim cooking for him and cleaning his shoes and wiping his nose. Anything you want, unbelievable. Mamash in Gan Eden. Gan Eden was the epitome of comfort. He can have any fruit he wants, any vegetables, any drinks, anything he wanted. One thing you can't have. What's that? A fruit from this tree. I've got to have it. Hamin ha'etz hazeh. That was Haman. Haman was exactly this idea of Hamin ha'etz hazeh. That everything in the world he can want, he can have, but one thing he can't have, that's exactly what he needs. That is the idea of Haman, and that's the connection to Hamin ha'etz hazeh. Now this is the idea of Purim too.
That one thing he can't have is exactly what he needs?
That's exactly what he felt he needed.
Oh.
And that's why everything else wasn't worthwhile to him. Purim is the idea where we're truly happy. What we do is, we say to Rabbeinu Shleilam, Rabbeinu saying, look, we can have food, we can have drink. Not only do we celebrate ourselves, we give to other people. Not only do we have enough for ourselves, not only are we looking on our shoulder, maybe we're missing this, maybe we're missing that. We're giving to other people too. We're making sure our neighbors have food too. We're giving to the Anim. We're completely opposite to Haman. Look how different we are to Haman. We, not only do we have enough, we give to other people too. That is a complete opposite to Haman, complete opposite to Hamin ha'etz hazeh. Yeah? That's the idea of why Matan Tzivena and Mishloach Manos. But more than that. As I said beforehand, in order to become a Ritzeach, to become a murderer, it's a cycle. The Gemara says that why is the parasha of Seita next to the parasha of Nazir? Why do they have Nazir next to Seita? So the Gemara, Kol HaRoye, Seita b'kulkula, Yazir atzmei min hayayin. Whoever sees a Seita in her kilkul, in her embarrassment, will be separating himself from wine. Now the Gemara says, so the question is, on the contrary, if you see a Seita being so abused by the fact that she connected herself to wine and she had a good time and started partying, and she got so badly abused and embarrassed, on the contrary, the person who sees it, shouldn't be connected to the Seita, shouldn't have to make a Nazirus, shouldn't have to disconnect himself from wine. Why does he have to make a Nazirus? I'm a tzaddik, this woman's a Seita, why do I have to make a connection to her? Why do I have to make a Nazirus from the Yain? The answer, says the Balamusa, the answer is that you may be distant from her from where she is at the end, but you are exactly the same place as where she started. You are where she started, and you've got to distance yourself from where she started. The biggest reichach in the world is the end of the road, but the beginning of the road, every person is very, very, very close to. That's what we have to make a distance from. When Klal Yisrael saw that Haman has everything in the whole world, but what did he have? What didn't he have? He had one lonely Jew, never bowed down to him. What did he say? The cold there and then the shovel, nothing's worthwhile. What did he want to do? What did he want to do? Annihilate Mordechai. But he couldn't just kill Mordechai, because it's very cheap just to kill Mordechai, because he never bowed down to him. So what did he do? He made a plot to wipe out the whole Klal Yisrael just because one person never bowed down to him. That was Haman. Haman was willing, because he never had that one thing in the world he couldn't get of Mordechai bowing down to him, he's willing to wipe out an entire nation. That was a koyach of the evil, that's a koyach of the ra of Haman HaRasha. So on Purim, we do the opposite. On Purim, what we do is, we say, because the koyach hara is so bad, that a person can become so wicked by hating somebody, how much more so can a person become great by appreciating somebody and by loving somebody? And therefore, that's why on Purim, we connect more with other people. We enjoy other people. We send shalachmanas, we do matanas yevyonim, because if one person, because of his hatred, can wipe out an entire nation, one person with his ahava can build an entire nation. I had this chus last week to meet with, I was in a place, my wife met actually, with a woman called Mrs. Pappenheim. Mrs. Pappenheim runs something called the Bet Hachlama. Bet Hachlama is a convalescent home for mothers after birth. And she, not only she's very, very successful. In Knaanahor, when I was there, there must have been over 100 women there with babies. Tremendous chesed. After the birth, they come there and she rejuvenates them and gives them tremendous food and the care. Beautiful. And not only that, she has a house where Talus Nebuch, who don't have a home to come from, either the Yisraelim or they came from homes that they can't go back to their homes or whatever it is, and they're going to get married. Where do you leave from? You leave from a dorm? She didn't feel that was right, and therefore they move into her house for a couple of weeks beforehand. She goes shopping with them, and she has her own house, and she builds them, and she takes them to beautician and to shaitel machos, and they leave her house. That's the address they leave from. They leave from her house. An amazing family, Pappenheim. So she said, where did she get it from? She was a Holocaust survivor, and she said one time she was in her bed, and on one side of her was her dead sister, she had died in the night. Another side of her was her sister who was dying. In the same bunk, three of them in the same bunk. And there was a piece of bread that she had. So the sister says, you take the bread. I'm going to die anyway, you might as well have it. And she gave her the bread. And the sister said, whatever you do, be Elchid and love Klal Yisrael. And that inspired her. After the war, people Nebuch, they went off the derech, right, left and centre. People, can't judge any of these people. None. And Nebuch, they went off the derech, and they hang out, and they enjoy life now. We've suffered so much, just enjoy life. And Nebuch went off, and she built herself, her life up, on building, one by one, another woman and another woman, and building up homes in Klal Yisrael, building up with Ahava and Achva v'Shalom Reyes. That's the day of Purim. The day of Purim is an unbelievable thing, and I've mentioned this many, many times, that on Purim, the concept of Purim is all about knowing who you really are. It's knowing who you really are. On Yom Kippur, it's an artificial knowing who you are. On Yom Kippur, you stand in shul, and everyone shuckles, and everyone's got a bit of, you know, a white, you've got the white trainers on, and you've got your talus over your head, and everyone's shuckling, and you think, and if you've got a good chazan, got a good belt filler, Hashem Hu Elokim, and your mom is, and you all scream Hashem Hu Elokim, and he gets, there's a frenzy, and there's an energy, and you're feeling mamish as if, you know, got like little, feel like maybe, you know, sort of sprouting wings at the back, and you feel you're flying. You feel you're flying. And that is Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, Yom Kippurim Kippurim. That Yom Kippur, if you're lucky, will be like Purim. Why is Purim more important than Yom Kippur? Because Purim, you know where you really are. Purim, you know where you really are. Purim is the idea, the Gemara says, a person knows where they are, Bekisli, Bekisli, or Bekasli. A person is exactly where they are when they're drunk. A person is exactly where they are when they're drunk. That is a time when you really know where you are, where you're really standing. When a person is drunk, when all his defenses are down, and you find out, be careful, be careful. You have to know whether you want people to find out who you really are, or you want to find out who you really is, if you're really ready to find out who yourself are. When a person is drunk, you can see exactly who they are. And that is the amazing time of Purim, where a person can connect with their real self. A person can connect with the really holding madrigas. I've seen people, I've mentioned this time and time before, I've seen Gebelim, mummish Gebelim being sick on Purim. In Eretz Yisrael is not so fashionable for some reason. I'm not sure why. But in Geita certainly, people mummish Rosh Shiva because he was sick, Rav Ron Gurwitz, Rav Nathasiel Salomon, Rav Skech Nav Lakewood. He was out. Completely out. He'd stand on his table and ramble Musa for hours and hours and hours. We'd have Magidish here, quiet people. Suddenly, every person, every Jew they saw, gave them a kiss and a hug and a dance with them. And, you know, we had one quiet bracha, a real neb. Honestly, a real neb. I remember that, never forget the sight, because running up and down Kotzitz Road, that's the main street there in Cape Town. Yeah, running that up and down Kotzitz Road, every guy he saw, he danced him, Shaloya Sani Goy! Shaloya Sani! Every guy he saw, every Jew he saw, started dancing and kissing him. This guy was like a little Nebuch. Yeah? And we saw who this guy was. Yom Kippurim Kippurim is understanding that you really know where you're holding. But it's got to be done with understanding that it's a Shem Shemayim. It's got to be done understanding that this is a day of coming. It's tremendous discovery to the Bein Shreim. Lukotsky said, there are 2 days that are wasted on there are 2 days that are wasted. He said, unfortunately, the day of the Chasna is gegeben gevor to zwei kleine Kinder. The day of the wedding is given to 2 little children. The day of the wedding is so great, and Nebuch is given to 2 little children. The day of your wedding is Nebuch given to 2 little children. If the person knew the greatness of the wedding, if you give it over to the person who's 70, 80, you'll know how to deal with it properly. That's why most America get remarried 3 or 4 times, you know. It's a chokhmah. It's a chokhmah. It's the idea behind the kotzkevot. And he said, and unfortunately Purim is given to Shekirim. Purim Nebuch is given to Shekirim. If you knew what Purim is all about, if you can reach levels on Purim, unbelievable. I just want to finish off with this vot. Yeah.
So see, you said before, if one person can destroy them, then also you can love another Jew. But that's the thing behind the picture of Rav Shach. If one man can kill 6 million Jews, then another man can definitely save them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it just reminds me as well of a MP3 player, not long. Remember as well of a, there's a man in Golders Green. His name was Ravitcher Teitelbaum. The Gerach Chosid. Very lovely, lovely man. And he always used to hand out sweets to kids. The Shefa. I just saw now, never chapped. He writes down his nifter, his yacht site. Remember him?
My brother-in-law's cousin or something.
Yeah, he was a very, very sweet man. And he said he never saw a smile on a child in a concentration camp. He went to those camps, never saw a smile. He said, you have to see a smile of a child and give him a sweet. So that's what he always wanted to see. That's Avas Chesed. That's besides Avas Chochmas. Avas Chesed. If you look in the Megillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not mentioned once. The Gra brings, it's a well-known shit of the Gra, that every time it says HaMelech, it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it says HaMelech HaChashverosh, it's referring to HaChashverosh, HaMelech is referring to the Bein Shleilam. But it doesn't say Hashem's name once in there. So I want to say perhaps the vote is this. In Perek Yud Zayin, Posek Zayin, it says, Perek Yud Zayin, Posek Zayin, Perek Yud Zayin, sorry, Posuk Ches. Perik Yudayim Posuk Ches. Vayovay Amalek. Amalek came. Vayilachem en Misol b'Rafidim. And they fought with Misol and Rafidim. So he brings in Rashi. Somach Parsha Zula Mikra. There. That the Parsha beforehand connects to the previous Parsha. Tomid ani b'neichem umuzum l'kol tzorcheichem. Hashem says, I always provide for the needs. Va'atem oimrim, and you say, hayesh Hashem b'shebeinu im ayin, is Hashem amongst us or not? Chayechem, I swear in your life, shehakelef bo b'neishach eschem, that a dog will come and bite you. Va'atem tzorekim li, and you'll shout out to me, v'teidu heichen onin, soon know where I am. Which means the last part is referring to Kodesh Baruch Hu providing the needs and saying, is Hashem amongst us? So the next pasuk, Yovei Amalek, Moshul Adam, like a story of a person, Shehukib Bunel Kesefoi, who put his child on his shoulder, V'yotzu Aderech, and he went on the way. Hoya Oisa Haben Roya Chepetz Va'Oimeh. The child would see something and say, Abba, Tol Chepetz Evetenni, Daddy, give me that thing. Who knows? And he'd give it to him. V'chein Shnei V'chein Shlishi, again and again, Daddy, give me this, buy me that, and the father would give it to him. Pogu Bo Adam Echod. One time, a person met him. Omaloi, he said to him, Oisai Haben, he says, Abba, the son said to the man, is he my father anywhere? Omaloi Obed, his father said to him, Ein cho yidea heichan ani, do not know where I am. Hishichu me olov, ubo ha-shelev ha-noishchoi. The father took him off his shoulders, a dog came and he bit him. So that's a parasha here too. Kalei Shor is saying, is Hashem amongst us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing so much for them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll give you a dog that will bite you, who's a Amalek, and you soon know who I am. You soon come running back to me. You soon realize where I am. That was why Amalek. Amalek came in by not realizing where Kodesh Baruch Hu was. I want to say that the tikkun of Purim was realizing that Kodesh Baruch Hu was there and writing the whole Megillah without even needing Hashem's name in there once. It was so evident that Kodesh Baruch Hu was there. It was so evident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there in Megillas Esther, you don't even need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name once. Which means this is a total U-turn from what happened in the original Chet. The original Chet was, Hayesh Hashem b'Kirbeinu, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chlal? And that's how Molech came into on the scene in the first place. We said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can have a whole Megillah, and we can see event after event unfolding, and we know there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even without mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Even behind the scenes, we know there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the concept over here of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not mentioned in there. There's a joke they say that there are three Jewish inventors. Norman Greenberg, Max Greenberg, and one second.
Sorry, got it.
Norman Greenberg and Hyman Greenberg, yeah? And they came to Ford, Mr. Ford, the anti-Semite. Henry Ford, they came to Henry Ford in Michigan, and they said to him, Henry, old boy, we've got a fantastic proposition for you. So what is it? He says, come outside, we'll show you. Comes into the car. There's an old car there, and it's stifling hot. Terribly, terribly hot. He says, boiling hot in here. He says, don't worry, sit down, we'll show you. Press that white button. Presses the white button. Suddenly a gust of cold air comes, and it's cooled down, and within 1 minute, the whole thing's cool. He jumps out of the car, and he says, you drew dogs? That's fantastic. It's unbelievable. Brilliant. How do you work that one out? He said, we'll sell it to you. He said, you know what? What do you want? $1 million, plus we want our name next to the Ford logo. Greenberg Brothers. He said, you know, I can give $1 million, but my name next to, I want a Jewish name next to the Ford sign, forget it. He said, okay, you know what, we'll go to Fiat. I'm not a problem. Nope. So he said, made a compromise that instead of having their name on the front on the bonnet next to the Ford sign, they have it on the dashboard. And that's why every car you'll see with the air conditioning, it says high, medium and low. High, 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 max, and
Norm.
And Norm. High, Norm, and Max. Yeah, those are the three Norman. Those are the three Greenberg brothers who invented the air conditioning system. The idea behind this is, it's a joke, but the idea behind this is that if you see a dashboard on a car, the model is like this. If you see a dashboard on a car, one goes through life and things develop, and we see that little things change, that little tweak of nature, things happen, and all very, very normal things, but the result is amazing stuff. The result is that all of you today, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, however long it is, never believed in a million years of being a yeshiva. In yeshiva, I mean, why waste your time sitting down in a yeshiva? Yeah? And what happened was, the small events, and each one has your own Megillah. Each one of you has your own Megillah's Esther. They can all see the small events, and what you have to be able to do is realize that although the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not necessarily in front of your eyes, seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a major nissim, but you should know that the fact is, in our own lives, on the dashboard in front of us, we've got to be aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our lives. And Purim is a time for reflection. Purim is a time to become, to be Ahav V'Reis between our friends, and have Ahav V'Reis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu too, and appreciate and realize that every single thing is from Him. That the nissim, the clothes, the nissim that are covered up, are in fact given us such fantastic lives that we have today, and appreciate it. And as Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu make more nissim and take us out from our Molech, and we should be Tim Chazeich HaMolech. Our Molech is Sofik, same lotion as Sofik. Tim Chazeich HaMolech is the same as Sofik, same gematria. Our Molech is all about Sofik, all people being cynical. Our Molech today, says Ramat Yisrael Salomon, are the cynics, of people who are saying, what do you need to learn in yeshiva for? Torah, you can get away, there's nothing wrong with being a good person, why do you have to be a frum Jew? That's our Molech today. It doesn't mean you have to go along and kill them, but that you have to be aware that that is our Molech today. Our Molech today is the people who are Moira Sofik, those people who are cynics, the cynics of Yiddishkeit, those are our Molech. We've got to be aware of it and get it out of our system. And as Hashem, when Kosh Boku's kisser will be sholem, when you oil more and more people to give them on the right way, the right derech, and to stamp out the Sofik with Hashem.